If you have five employees, that's five lives you're touching. That's five. You're having an impact in the community. You have leverage. People will listen to you. Use that voice. And the next thing you know, your business is going to grow because you're doing more than just making the proverbial widgets. You know, it's, well, we sell socks. What could be more mundane than that? Mm. And it's something special. I urge businesses to think beyond just dollars and cents. And don't get me wrong, we want to make money.
Yeah.
We'd like to live indoors. You know, if it's snowing in Finland, you want to be indoors. You got to pay the rent. But there's more to it.
Welcome to episode 168. John Cronin, now 27 years old, was diagnosed with Down syndrome. That never stopped him from becoming an entrepreneur. Together with his father, Mark, they founded John's Crazy Socks in 2016 and have become tycoons in the socks business since. But their business is not just about socks. It's an avenue to spread their message of hope and inspiration. John's Crazy Socks has a mission of spreading happiness through unique socks. They aim to showcase the capabilities of people with different abilities, pairing a retail mission with a social one. Yet, like any other business, bottlenecks are inevitable. For instance, the struggle with perfectionism was one of the main bottlenecks they faced when they started. John and his father also host workshops, seminars, and talks to educate people about Down syndrome and how anyone diagnosed with it can reclaim their life. Join me on this episode for a lesson that goes beyond entrepreneurship. Disability is not inability.
Hello, John and Mark. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
Thank you for having me on your podcast. I needed science.
We're excited.
I'm excited too, because you know I love socks myself. So, I guess what I want to talk about at the beginning is that I think your mission is all about bringing happiness. If I'm correct, and I understand that socks can bring a lot of happiness to their owners, but I'm pretty sure your mission goes beyond selling socks. So can you tell us a little bit about it, please?
Well, when to introduce us?
Yeah.
Make sure they know who's the son and the father.
Hi, everyone. My name is John. I am the son. My dad, Mark, he's the father. We are John with his socks. And our reason is a spray happened.
And where do you say the keys to
happiness? I will learn today about your gratitude and your full observance.
And Lauren, that really does drive us. Mm-hmm. The idea of spreading happiness, it sets our budgets. Mm-hmm. It's our resource allocation. It's how we approach, how we present ourselves. But what we've done is create a slightly different type of business model. It's a social enterprise.
Yes.
Have both a social purpose and they feed off of each other. One in without the other. So that social purpose is really, let's show what people with different abilities can do. I mean, my partner here, John, you have Down syndrome.
Yes, I am. I have Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Syndrome never hold me back.
And we constantly want to show. Look what people can do.
Yeah.
But we're also selling socks.
Yeah, we are.
And what happens, you know, we can talk about our mission and our five pillars that we built this on. At the end of the day, we both have to be a great socks. Mm. We've got a great website. We've got a great selection. The products have to be great. The service has to be great. But we're not really a socks. The physical manifestation for the story and the mission.
Mm-hmm.
They become transcendent because you assign meaning to it. You assign
Yeah, because you guys deliver workshops, right? And you give us speeches, conferences about Down syndrome, and you try to educate people around it, right?
Yes. Well, so we have five pillars on which we built the business.
Yeah.
And first and the most important one
is bridging hope.
So we wanted to show the world, look what people can do. Look what people with different abilities can do. And we mainly focus on people with intellectual development challenge. That, we keep looking for opportunities and ways to do that. So we start with John.
Yes.
He has Down syndrome, but we don't hide him in the back.
I begin in the front because I am the face, the company, mm-hmm. and the business.
The face of the business.
Yeah.
We hire people. So more than half of our colleagues have a different ability. Right. That's not enough. We got to create content. So we're active on the major social media platforms, and we're creating content all the time to show, look what John, look what our colleagues can do. I like to say no broccoli. Nothing your mother says, oh, you have to sit down and eat this. This is good for you. It's got to be entertaining. It's got to show people as they are.
Right.
We want to show others, so we host Forbes. We've had more than 2,000 people come to our operation. Mm-hmm. We host work groups that come in from schools and social service agencies. They'll come in for an hour or two a week. We give them some tasks to do, but they get a taste of work. And what's really important is you get people in school who get to see other people like themselves working, owning a business.
Yeah.
So encouraging and hopeful. With the pandemic, we wound up doing that virtually. So now we've had schools from around the world come for tours. We take on speaking engagements. Look how fortunate we are. You have us on your podcast.
Absolutely.
We try.
It's an amazing story. When you guys approached me, I was like, it was a no-brainer. Because it's an amazing story. Immediately, there is something different.
We take on speaking engagements. So last week, we travel across the U.S., Canada, Mexico. Last week, we're in Indiana. Next week, we're in Massachusetts.
Yeah. And
week after that, we're in Maryland, then Washington State. John makes people cry when he gets
there. Why? What do you tell me?
Could be. We're fortunate with a lot of media coverage. And we do advocacy work. People will listen to us because of the business.
Right.
And that creates an obligation on our part to speak up. So we regularly meet with elected officials to advocate for the rights of people with different abilities. We've spoken twice at the United Nations. We've testified twice before the U.S. Congress. Nowadays, in the way things are going in the U.S., we have to say we were never subpoenaed. We went voluntarily.
Women ain't able to work.
So that all becomes a whole, right? And then we share that with our customers. We create customer experience. So we're not just chasing transactions. We're building relationships. And our customers know. When they buy from us, they're going to get great socks. We got more choice than anybody else. They're going to get great socks. We got over 30,000 five-star reviews. But they also know that they're helping us employ people with different abilities.
Mm.
They're supporting our Giving Back program, which has now donated over $750,000 U.S. dollars to our charity partners. So they get more than just socks.
Yeah.
Keep those socks on. It makes them feel happy.
Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely. So why did you choose to set up a business? And why socks?
And why socks? It's fun. It's colorful. It's rare. It always let me be me. I want easy socks my whole life.
It was John's idea.
Yes.
But it was born in part out of necessity.
Right.
I've long been an entrepreneur. I was at a point I was starting some new businesses. And John you were in your last year of school.
Yeah, it's going to be my last year, yes.
And like everybody else, trying to figure out what comes next. And what were you looking at?
I looked at job program and school. I can't find a career that I don't like.
Couldn't see it, find anything he liked. And this is true in the U.S. It's true in Finland. It's true across the EU. There just are not enough opportunities for people with different abilities.
Yeah.
But my partner, he's a natural entrepreneur.
Yes, I am.
You didn't see a job. What did you say?
I said, I want to create one. I want to make one. And I told my dad, I'm not going to bed with him. I just nice father and son being together.
So if you can't find a job, let's go make one.
Yeah.
And it was your idea to sell socks.
Yes, my idea.
And out of that, so we opened. When did we open?
We opened Friday, December 9th, 2016.
To test the idea.
Yeah.
Startup route. And we built a website, a simple website on their Shopify platform. Got a little bit of inventory.
Mm-hmm.
The marketing we did was to set up a Facebook page. And I would take out my cell phone, and who do you think was in those videos?
I am.
Of course.
I talked about socks. I can't read morning is socks.
Yeah.
Socks and more socks.
Yeah.
We didn't know what to expect.
Right.
But that first day, we got a flood of orders. So it felt like a flood of orders.
Mm.
We got 42 orders. And most of them were local. We live in a town called Huntington. We're about 45 minutes, an hour outside New York City. We live in a town of Huntington. He was in high school. So it made sense they were local orders. How did we deliver those first orders?
I went to the street. We got boxes. I put a sock in the box. I put a thing in the railroad and a bit of harder keys I put in the
put Andy in, loaded up the car, drove around.
Mm.
And he on doors delivering socks.
I did.
How the customers respond?
My customers respond. They love the socks. Oh, they want to take a picture with me.
Mm.
About the socks and the customer and share it on social media. Will I get a spread?
We had customers ordering again just to get John to come back to their door. I'd be out in the car and he'd be inside. Drinking hot chocolate, they're taking. that's how we got started.
Yeah,
the idea. You on your show, you talk a lot about cracking through that bottleneck.
Mm-hmm.
Take action. You can't wait for perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You can't wait for the perfect time. Get up and go. And we learned that. You know, we shipped in 2 weeks, we shipped 452 orders.
Mm.
And we knew we had some. We didn't know how big it would grow. We didn't know how fast it would grow. But you learn. You learn by doing. So we learned, one.
One, people want to buy socks. Two, people want to buy socks for me.
They related to John.
Yeah.
They liked the personal touch of thank you note and candy and everything. They liked the fact we had already pledged 5% of our earnings to the Special Olympics.
Mm.
It was something that caught us by surprise. We got a very emotional response from many people because they saw a man with Down syndrome starting his own business.
Mm.
It was just John. John doing John things.
Yeah.
And then we learned that this young man.
This is an old man.
We could sell socks.
Mm.
So that. You know, you go back over 7 years on that. Today, how many socks we have?
Oh, we have 4,000 different kinds of socks, which means I am the world.
We've shipped 450,000 orders to 88 different countries.
Well, nice.
More than half our colleagues have a different ability. We've raised over $750,000 for our charity partners.
Yep.
And you like to say,
I said, get started.
Just get.
That is the very, very entrepreneurial mindset here. Very much the entrepreneurial spirit. Do you still put candies into the boxes?
in every package. Yeah. You go. When we started, it was Hershey's Kisses, just little pieces of chocolate.
Yeah.
That was great. Everybody loved that. Until we reached the springtime and we got the email from the woman in Florida saying, you may not want to send chocolate through the mail in the South because it was melting.
That's a good point.
We went to Skittles, and then we went to, now we put lollipops and suckers in. One for you, one to give to a friend.
Nice.
We've had people come in and, you know, advise us, oh, what are you doing? You don't need to do that. You could save money. It misses the point.
Absolutely.
Our customers love it. They post about it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It brings them joy, I'm sure, more than the socks, because it's a little attention.
They like the socks, which is good.
Yes, of course. How is it to work with a father and son?
I really like working with my dad.
Yeah.
I give me strength. He always believed in me. And he knew that, because he learned all the time. He came and learned from. And as I tell you, I am very fortunate. I'd never without my point.
The two of us make it work well. And I think it's because we have a shared goal, mission that matters. And when you focus on mission, Eddie's stuff falls away. We don't have egos about it. I think we both know our roles. Mm-hmm. And know I couldn't do this without John. You know, so we need each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we could expand it. You know, there's humor in everything. His brother, I've got two other sons. One of them worked with us for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Left. And when he left, that was a good thing. Because if we kept working together, you were going to find us both in a pool of blood on the floor. And my wife, your mom, works with us. And we love that. We love working with the mama bear. But there are times. There are times we'll be home eating dinner and I'll say, you know, sweetheart, could I vent for a minute? I just got to tell you, this woman at work, you're not going to believe what she did. Except it's you.
Well, that's a good way to put it out.
Family businesses can be tough.
Yeah.
You know, you spend a lot of time together, and then when you start talking multi-generational, the failure rate goes up. The failure rate for family business is high.
No, you seem to be a very good team, the two of you. I can feel it, you know, from talking to you. So you mentioned this bottleneck of, you know, learning to not aim for perfection, and I have to say this is one of the common bottlenecks I see out there. What are the other bottlenecks that you had to go through?
Well, we have to think about our roles, and I, in many ways, particularly my role, and I think of it in two ways. One, it's our job to set the vision and set the tone and set the original culture. Where are we going? Set the direction as to where we're going. But after that, we're at the bottom of the organization. After that, our job is to serve everybody else and make sure they can do their jobs. And what can happen, and I've seen this, you know, in larger businesses, I've seen it in small ones. One person becomes the bottleneck because everybody wants them to make the decision. To me, you have to empower people. You have to give people autonomy. It both teaching people to make decisions and how we make decisions, but making sure they're confident enough to do it. One approach I have is somebody will come to me with something and I'll just listen. And they'll talk it through and they'll have the answer. And like, you see, you didn't need, you know, well, you know, and some of it is culture of, you know, after a while they're saying, well, we know what Mark would say. You know, here's a good choice. Yeah, but once we talk through it, we know what Mark is going to say. We don't need to talk to him. So I think there's education and behavior modification on both the leadership to give people autonomy, true autonomy, to teach people on making decisions, to setting that direction, but letting people make their calls and be within that framework, and people letting go. Right? If you want to make yourself feel important because everything comes to you, or you want to be that perfectionist where I have to decide everything, you're not going to be able to grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think about what I always think is a real critical job, customer service job. I tend to think of them more as customer response because we're all in customer service. Somebody calls up, and you had to be able to answer that. Well, there are certain patterns that you're going to see in the calls that you get, but you have no idea what that call is going to be. And there's always something new and different. You can't put together a single training manual to cover every instance. And if you want people to function that way, I think you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
As opposed to, okay, here's our approach. Here's what we believe. Here's our philosophy. Here's feedback. I will give you feedback on things. But now you're empowered and you know how to make these decisions and you go make those decisions.
Absolutely. You talked about the most common bottlenecks. The inability to let go, for instance, might be the biggest one I have encountered among all the entrepreneurs I've talked with.
You have to be willing, you know, to let go. There's a good book out there called Who, Not How. Be a leader. When you start to think of something new, don't start immediately thinking, how am I going to get this done? Think who is going to get it done and then let them do that. But, you know, we have a strategic partner, and at one point was going to hire someone who had worked with us in the past to be our community organizer. And one of the things that Maria does is she schedules John and me. She schedules all our podcasts, our speaking engagements. I like to say without Maria, we would just spin off the earth. And a strategic partner said, Mark, it's never going to work. You're going to wind up doing everything yourself. You're not going to let somebody else do this. So what possibly makes you say that? Why do I want to get involved in all the back and forth? And I trust Maria more than myself about scheduling. And it works great. And, you know, Maria has no trouble telling me, here's what you got to do.
But that's the thing also is that as entrepreneurs, you need to be ready to receive feedback from the people working around you.
Yeah, there's sometimes the people in charge say, my door is always open. Yeah, but nobody wants to come in and talk. It's all going to be the same thing. But there's a wonderful book called Essence of Decision. Looks at John Kennedy and his presidency, and it mainly looks at the Cuban Missile Crisis. But it starts by looking at the Bay of Pigs, one of his early decisions, and it was awful. It's a catastrophe. Well, here's what happened. One of the things that happened. With the Bay of Pigs, he let it be known what he wanted to do early on. And so he would come in, and his advisors would be around him. And the president was, you know, here's where we're going. Well, everybody coalesced around that. And therefore, there was nobody in the room able to say, wait a second, this is going to be a disaster. When it came to the Cuban Missile Crisis, he didn't let his direction. He listened, and all he did was ask questions and probe, and it led to a much better decision-making process.
Yes.
You know, one of the things I try to do is, you know, if we're having a meeting, we're talking to people, is not talk first. Let everybody else have their say. Because if I talk, some people won't say things, or they'll be, you know, they'll pull back.
Yeah.
You want to hear those
things. It's up to absolutely.
Your mom has no trouble telling me.
You were talking about that employee of yours, right? I remember.
But you know, listen, that's one of the things you got to demonstrate to people, that people can disagree with you,
mm-hmm.
and they don't get punished for it. They don't get shunned for it. One of the things I tell folks all the time is, you know, stop me from doing something stupid. I get a lot of ideas. John, you get a lot of ideas.
I do.
Entrepreneurs have them all the time. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean every idea is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was all hot and heavy once about making and selling kites. Thank God we didn't do that. You know, but I come in, I'm all excited, and luckily there were others that were like, stop. No.
Yeah, socks sound a lot more fun to sell. John, let me ask you a question. What is it that you like the most in your job?
I really like my job. You know, like I like to be a guest lit. I like traveling. I like doing videos. I like doing TikToks, and I like designing socks. Mm-hmm. I like picking owners, and I like what I do with my day.
Well, you do tours.
I do much more
like that, and you notice that you asked John what's your favorite thing, and he just lists everything he
does. Everything, yes, yeah. But hey, this is great. Do you dislike anything then?
I have none.
No.
But
he's a very hard worker. I can tell you great stories about, like, early on.
Yes.
We're making videos, and I'm recording a video in those days, you know, making on my phone, and I would like interview John. And one day it's very early. We're making a video, and John is not on. It's not working.
Yeah.
And I say, John, take a break. This later. And he looks at me, and he pounds his fist on the table and says, "At this is business. Where is
it?" Yep.
So one day, a month or so ago, we had a talk we were giving at 8 in the morning. John's not really a morning person. So we're driving to this business network meeting where we're going to be the keynote speakers. And John's very organized. And he's going through his phone, looking at his calendar for the day. And he looks up at me and says, "Dad, I love being an entrepreneur. I have something to do from 8 in the morning till 9 at night. And I love it." You go for it, kiddo.
I don't.
Amazing. So you like being busy.
I love being busy.
Well, good. That's good that you choose to be an entrepreneur. It's the right path, apparently.
Right. You know, there's another one of, we do a lot with the Special Olympics. John, you're a Special Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
And,
Oh, you are? Oh, I didn't know.
So this one night, John, you helped out at a fundraiser,
yes,
in Manhattan, in New York City. It was a young professional mixer. A lot of Wall Street types, a lot of very attractive people at a very hot club.
Wow, and that's just a woman.
And we get home, oh, I don't know, it's 3 in the morning. So, and I say, "John, you haven't had a day off at 8. But hey, just take tomorrow. Sleep in, take the day off." So I go, "Oh, okay." So I get up, I come to the office. About 10:30, who comes walking in the door? But John, like, what are you doing? Because I took an Uber to the office. I have things to do. You know, at that point, I think you were 23. What 23-year-old did is say, no, I'm not taking the day off. I'm working.
Damn, this is a great lesson for other 23-year-old. I know some are a lot lazier than that.
It is so good to wake up in the morning and have things to do that matter.
Is that the main message you want to spread to the entrepreneurship community? Do things that matter?
Well, yeah, part of what we want to show people, it's the impact you get at. The smallest business has a big impact. If you have 5 employees, that's 5 lives you touch. That's 5. You're having an impact in the community. You have leverage. People will listen to you. Use that voice. And the next thing we know, your business is going to grow because you're doing more than just making the proverbial widgets. You know, we sell socks. What could be more mundane than that? I mean, to something special. I urge businesses to think beyond just dollars and cents. And don't get me wrong, we want to make money.
Yeah.
We like to live indoors. You know, if it's snowing in Finland, you want to be indoors. You got to pay the rent. But there's more to it. Here's a simple way I think about it. In the late 1960s, the economist Milton Friedman, who later went on to head the Federal Reserve in the U.S., came out and said, companies have one obligation, and their only obligation is to their shareholders. I think that's when things went wrong.
Yeah.
That in fact, businesses, our organization, we have an obligation to all of our stakeholders, to our employees, to our customers, to our community, to the environment, and yes, to our shareholders. And the companies that do it, and the UN's got great data on this, the companies that do that are more resilient and in the long run have higher profits.
Great message to conclude this interview. And before I ask you the last question, is there anything that we haven't talked about that is important and you should mention?
Well, we'll just, you know, put it out there that, you know, a lot of what we do is show what people with different abilities can do. Open your minds, open your doors. All employers want to hire the best possible people for the salaries we can afford. You exclude a population, you can no longer say you're hiring the best possible people. So considering hire people with different abilities and understand that doing so is not altruism, it's good business.
Yeah.
And if there are people out there that want to learn more or want help doing that, reach out to us. We'll be glad to.
So tell them then how to reach out to you and where can they find, you know,
you can find us at JohnCreatesSocks.com. Center Allison Mia, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok,
YouTube
channel.
John's Crazy Socks on all of those. If you want to reach me, you can get through the website. Go to our website and at the bottom of the page, you know, you find out about speaking engagements and tours, John's weekly dance party.
Yes.
We just announced our Autism Can Do Scholarship winner. There's lots of information and links there. But also you can get a hold of me on LinkedIn. I'm the only Mark X Cronin on LinkedIn. Easy to find. And we're slow moving, so we don't really escape people.
Well, John, Mark, thank you very much for your time today.
Lauren, we really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you. And folks, let's go break those bottlenecks.
Absolutely. And if you want to do so, I suggest you start with my ebook. It's called Thrive, 8 Tactics to Break the Bottlenecks and Propel Your Business, for one. And you can find it on my website. I'll see you next time. Bye for now.